I guess to start off, I mean, it sounds like there's been everybody in the room's basically made their opinion. Is that more or less the case? Sounds like, I mean, I see a lot of head shaking. I mean, everybody's basically said the dairy's bad news. Dairy's bad news. I mean, there's not much that I can say anything to change minds or what we've done. I mean that's I what I'm saying is all of the news that comes from here is everybody's that's I guess what I'm trying to find out is, so let me clarify, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to find out whose opinion's already made, who wants to know my side and listen to what I'm saying. And I'm not being negative. Val's exactly right. I'm a positive person. Okay, so as long as we're okay. So there's a lot of questions that were asked that I'll try to address. People have, there's so many topics that were covered in that time frame. So since the last meeting that we've had, we had all the diversions were gone through and cleaned out. There was a question, did the dairy change those diversions from the plantation days? As far as I know, those are the same diversions that run through the dairy. Okay? As far as I know, I've been here now 3 years. I can't speak for the dairy that owned the property when they first put in the old Ocala dairy. I can't, Island Dairy, I believe is what it was called. I can't say that those weren't changed. But as far as what we've had, we have not changed those diversions from the plantation days. Okay? Those diversions are the same diversions that need to be cleaned out and maintained, which led to the issue of the flooding the last time. The water that came through breached those diversions and went like a cascade down the hill, obviously going through each one. Okay? Since this meeting, all of those diversions have been repaired and cleaned out. We've had rainfall since then. We monitor, kudos to the county for cleaning all the culverts. We've come down to watch and make sure that those culverts, there isn't excessive flow coming there, because I believe last time we talked about the culverts are designed to catch minimal water, roadway water, and any that comes off of the embankment. Excess. There you go. So, looks to me, I mean, just in the last 6 months, that's worked. Those diversions are working the way they're supposed to work. The grass burn that has been planted in there, it actually is 30 acres. Someone hit the point. It is a strip that comes across that whole bottom area. Now, the planted part is the 30 acres, but there is also the grass buffer of the slope that goes into the fields. And then most of those spots, they hit the diversion that's up above it, too. So there's an additional grass area that comes in there. So you actually have a diversion, and then those whole fields are all planted. So there is 30 acres that's planted, that whole bottom. That is still growing. If you haven't noticed, the grass in there is about 8 inches tall. We're anticipating guinea grass, the way it grows, will come and start seeding itself in over the next, who knows, hopefully this summer. And then you'll start to see large bundles of guinea grass coming through. We'll continue to mow it so it makes it a good catchment. And that was the entire goal, was to, as we talked in the meeting, to set up a way that we could put people's minds at ease that runoff, the mud that comes from those fields, the topsoil, doesn't leave the property. Now, I will tell you, water will still come, obviously. You see that happen. It goes. But as far as on the Malka side of the road, I believe we've done our part as far as cleaning out all the diversions and maintaining those waterways that we can. Looking across the road on the lower side, the county has done a great job cleaning out those culverts. We observed them cleaning out each individual culvert. In some spots, man, it took them about 2 weeks to clean out the culverts. They've been that way, and I imagine it was just a lot of time build up as far as material in those culverts to get them out. There was a question about a culvert that had been replaced that was crushed. I did some fact-finding. We did, in fact, replace that culvert with the exact same size that came out of there. It was a 3-foot culvert that went under there. It's a 3-foot culvert that's in there right now. We actually went and reinforced the front sides with concrete, but the opening is still 3 feet. So it was designed for that the exact same way the planting. The one thing that we've also implemented is there is no farming actually on the upside of that diversion. Okay, so previously we would farm to the diversion and stop. Now there's actually a grass buffer on the top side of that diversion, which does not get sprayed, which does not get tilled or anything like that. But there will be the occasional cleanouts that happen, and you'll strip away the vegetation if there's top. We actually went through there and put that all the way through, because actually on the plan or previous, that did not have a diversion going all the way through. It stopped about 3/4 of the field. We actually went and put it all the way to the gulch on the backside. Yep. Yeah, and that was one thing that we noticed, that, hey, there's a diversion in place, but it actually doesn't go crossing the whole field.
The other thing that we have a problem is that paved road going up to the mountain, it's a gutter of water.
You're exactly right. And there's big.
Going back to the 30 acres that you talked about, what I see up there now is a strip that appears to be like, I don't know, 20 foot wide along the highway. I don't see, I'm not clear at all on what you're talking about. That's 30 acres.
So if, yeah, I mean, it's.
All I see is like a 20 foot section along the highway of getting grass. That's the only berm that I'm seeing right now.
Okay, so I guess. I don't know how to show it any clearer. I mean, there's a big, it's a whole field.
So the whole entire field right now has been cleared out. And then planting corn. And now you're saying you're not going to be growing corn on that.
So, right, we're not. And that was the idea that came up from the last meeting, that we thought, okay, we'll take out. And it's not the easiest decision to do. I'll tell you that. The best corn ground is obviously closer to the ocean. Everything grows better closer to the ocean. So I know it sounds mute, but it's a sacrifice of good fertile farm ground to grow for grass. And I'm hoping that grass grows just as well as the corn did, so we can actually make something out of it. As far as the runoff goes, I think we've caught that point. The plan with the NRCS is what we're working on right now. It takes time, as obviously, to change our farming practices into what the NRCS recommends. And they've been great to work with. I mean, Kanoi's, she's been great. And that'll take time to get to that point. We submit, okay, this is what we're going to do as far as cleaning diversions, all of that. And then the planting practices need to be changed to follow what they recommend. Now, obviously, they're putting together a new plan to address maybe big, deeper slopes. Maybe we decide, okay, those slopes, we've put them back into grass. You don't farm in. There's a bunch of issues like that. So that's where I would say if there's something that still is in the progress, is that plan. To get the plan in place. And we're committed to use the plan and to follow the plan. Just so in meetings like this, when if something does happen, a natural disaster, people can say, okay, they're at least following the plan that was there.
Do you have some funds or insurance that could help the people that are being hurt right now?
Well, see, I guess I'm not a... I can't answer that one for you. I can't answer that. So when there's a... I mean, and you're going to have to take this up with someone else that knows all of that. I guess it wouldn't be me. I wouldn't know. You're asking someone that doesn't have those answers.
I have one more question. You know that Airport Road, there is a lot of cattle there. And that runoff, you could just run off into the streams. Is that still going on?
Well, the airstrip is still there. There's a few animals in there, but it's not as it used to be. If you noticed on the dairy, we actually moved all of that operation to the upside.
But I remember the cattle there would run up and just go down the street.
I can't confirm that. I can't say that that's, because I believe that's actually a catchment area. But I know right now, no, it's not in use. Some of the other things that we have done to continue, just so people understand what we have been done. There was someone that brought up the point that the cane days, they harvested in sections. They planted in sections, things like that. So we've adopted that same standard. Okay, so if you watch our farms, there's a different growth points on the corn. Okay, so if you go all the way to the top, you see the corn's, 4 or 5 inches tall. But if you look down here on the bottom, that stuff's, a foot and a half tall already. So as it was harvested, taken off, planted, moved to the next section, waited, harvested, planted, moved to the next section. So that is a practice that we had changed. I don't know who brought that question up, but that is something that we did take care of. Like I said, I understand, there's a lot of animosity when you deal with things that affect your home life. I understand that. Okay? And I'm not a person that does not, I'm not a robot. I have a family of my own. I care about the environment also. Okay? I care about people. I care about how you feel. I care about what you think of me. I care about what you think of the dairy. Okay? My main goal is to try to make that dairy work, but I've got all these pieces I've got to make happy too. And I understand there is a smell, and I understand everybody, that's the elephant in the room that everybody... Speculation on my part is whenever we get a change of weather patterns, cold air brings down that smell. That's my speculation. So we do apply manure onto those fields.
When it cools all down, then the smell is gagging.
And this is the point that as you form your committee, I have no problem, discussing some of those practices with them. I mean, as you had that committee, but there's work on the source that we feel is the smell.
But since you were manager too, we talked about windbreak and planting trees to windbreak that smell. What have you done so far with that?
I don't know where the windbreak came from as far as on the airstrip. I believe that was planted for that to try to block that wind. I'm not sold on it. I mean, obviously, there's still a smell, obviously. Okay? So I would love to say there's a silver bullet.
No, Kauai, to this, exactly what he's saying.
Because they said they promised, the first owner promised that there would be no smell. No smell whatsoever.
Dairy smell.
It
smells. So all of our system is set up for catchment of water, catchment of effluent. That's manure with urine, all of that. That's if you've been seen our dairy, it's a freestall barn set up. So all of our animals, well, I shouldn't say all of them, the milking animals are in those freestalls. Those freestalls are designed to catch all of their manure. So what those barns are set up, they're set up with a scraper. That scraper comes through and it actually scrapes the manure to a collection point in the middle of the barn where it gets brought down to a collection pit. So actually, if you see where our animals are housed, it's fairly clean. That collection pit is where we pull out the solids with the composter, similar the lady that was talking about composting, similar process. We extrude all of the water out of it, and the solids get left behind, and then it gets composted, heated up, as she was referring to. It's about 150 degrees, kills your bacteria in it, and then that's actually what we bed the animals in. So the whole process is for us, we're trying to collect all as much waste as we can to try to keep for bedding for those animals. So after that step, the water comes off, and we do have catchment or containment ponds that are on site. They're on the far side of the property, obviously. They're set up so they can irrigate the crops, and that's how you disseminate that liquid back out. Okay, so every time that people say, well, you're just flushing your manure down the streams and whatnot, it's not what we want. It's against, number one, environmentally, the responsibility that we have, as well as our functionality of the dairy. We need to collect as much of that manure as we can to pull out those solids and then turn them back into the bedding for the animals. So that's the question that as these complaints come up, we have every department under the rainbow that comes and looks.
I'm showing him the picture of that pond. And if you look here, there's like some kind of ditch that was dug out in that water. So I don't know if you want to explain that portion.
Sure. So as you can see, well, you can't see, but in this photo, this is your catchment pond. You do have an emergency spillway there that has been put in case of a massive rain event. Okay. Because the goal is, obviously, as everybody understands, nobody wants this to come down this way.
And then from here, where does it travel? It travels downhill and into some gulches. So the question is, it's been happening. Rain and stuff, so it did overflow.
No, this is not actually. You can see the embankment right here.
Okay.
And this is the part, when every inspector comes, they come and check these parts. Because obviously that would be the spot, if there was any of our effluent getting off property, those would be the spots that they would go to.
This is an older picture, so this is not the current one. But you did have overflow on those ponds, correct, on the heavy rain?
No.
So the manure that's coming in the streams, you're saying is not your manure?
I didn't say that. Actually, no. I'm just telling you that it does not come from those points.
Okay.
No. And that would be the question that everybody's wondering. Okay. Because all of our system is designed to hold all of that. Okay. So, well, they actually are, because every agency that's come and looked at them has verified that the levels are low. There's no waste coming out of those.
And you say it doesn't leak the pond. Did you ever walk it out by the pond?
Does the pond leak? I would say we need that, because the pond doesn't leak. That's the assumption that everybody's seen.
So is it lying? Okay, so because the ground, that thing will go right through, you have it lined.
That pond is lined.
That
You're
pond
correct.
Is that well?
There is one, it's an overgrown pond that's up above.
And that one is not lined.
That one I can't confirm or deny. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, because that one has been in service.
Is there any way that somebody can find out if that's a lined pond or not, and if you can line it? Or, you know, because if you're saying you're not knowing, then we need to find out. Again, Brad, like you said earlier, we're going to form a committee. So I'm hoping that you will also be working with that committee so that we can be on property as well with you to make sure.
So I can give you an answer to that question. The lagoon that is up, it's actually up above the bigger lagoon. And so if it were leaking, it would leak into the other lagoon. I mean, if you see the way manure settles, guess what I'm relying on is the help of people. Suggestions like this is great. I mean, that points us, obviously, okay, there's major concerns in the community. What can we do to mitigate those? If it takes, you know, talking, obviously working with government agencies that are provided to help farmers, that's the process that we take. I can't tell you what the future is going to hold as far as weather events, things like that. That particular event, It was a flash flood. Okay, flash floods obviously are becoming more and more predominant. Same answer would apply. I couldn't answer that.
You're going to go find out if it's lying or not, and then if it's not lying, you need to tell us that you're going to line it. That's what you're supposed to be telling us.
Just so everyone's clear, I'm not a liar. I don't think I've lied to anybody here in the past, and I don't, you know, I'm not going to tell you I plan on doing it in the future. So to answer your concern, you know, I'm not going to tell you something that you want to hear.
You said you don't know.
So I guess what I'm telling you, the upper lagoon that's there, so there is the two lagoons, that was designed with the first dairy that was built here back in the late 90s. That's the one I'm not sure about. I can tell you the lagoon that we've constructed, it is lined. I would have to tell you the I don't know the material off the top of it. They do not overflow. Now, could they ever? You bet. I mean, there's always things that could happen.
So
and I
couldn't have overflowed already?
No. I mean, well, let me... Good. Could, I mean, you've seen... Well, and she said, there's no guarantees. Oh, in the gulches. That is a hazard. But can I answer? Can I say why? Don't ever go in the gulches. Number one, because you don't know what's going to happen there. I can guarantee you the population of pigs that we have, you have populations of pigs in there. You have risk for flash floods. Now, you guys can laugh at me and do what you want. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't go in.
Would your company be willing to, when you go to your company and ask them if they'd be willing to reduce the number of cows to make them more manageable, to make our community safe? Is that something that's, if we just reduced it to a certain number? I don't know what that number is.
And I can't tell you if that's the answer or not. I really can't. I can't tell you if it's...